Good morning and welcome to me. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Instructions for living a life. Pay attention. Be astonished. Tell about it. Mary Oliver. Set alarms throughout the day. When the timer goes off, pay attention. Be aware of what is new. Enjoy freshness. Be aware of what is familiar. Enjoy the habitual. Be aware of what is changing. Enjoy transience. Be aware of what is unchanging. Enjoy permanence. Then record about your love of rhythm, the union of change and permanence, the mixture of novelty and familiarity. For extra credit, bring beginner's mind to a practice activity such as the recitation of the daily recollection. Allow yourself to enjoy being at the intersection of a timeless lineage of monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path, and the eternal now from which the words are arising as if for the first time. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. This is Pasha from San Francisco.
Hey, Pasha.
Hello, Sherry. Wonderful to be here and renew my practice commitments to the year-long retreats and the show. Now I can attend on time.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. And I see a lot of things that are coming new, like a beginner's mind. And what helps me get more into beginner's mind is meditation. When I meditate, everything is new. And
yes.
when I get bored, I sit down to meditate, and I get up. I'm not bored. Everything is renewed.
Because just to catch up with you here, because only ego gets bored.
Yes.
Right? And ego is boring. Right?
Yes.
It wants to do the same things over and over, say the same things over and over, and pretend that it wants something to be different, which of course it doesn't. It just wants all of the attention on it. So when we meditate, we come back to presence. We're not identified with the ego anymore, and everything is new and bright and shiny, and we're here.
Yeah. So now for me is a signal. If the world became boring, then I just go to meditation, sometimes just waiting in lines or on a bus stop or other kind of, in quote, boring places.
Right. Yeah. That's funny, Pasha, because, I mean, truly, a few things could be more interesting than a bus stop. Right? I mean, it's just filled with, you know, with noise and people and movement and color and, you know, it's just, yeah, it's...
The color, noticing different colors is also very interesting. Some colors are harder to find. And also what came up for the kind of a spirit of repetition that, you know, the meditation, I have a daily practice. It's repeating. It's like breath is repeating.
Uh-huh.
The sun is rising repeatedly every day. So it's like something is rolling. Something is repeating, like a wheel is rolling, but it's going to new places by the rolling.
Yes, and you're a new person. Right?
Oh.
You're a new person in every moment to be there appreciating the repetition.
Oh, yes. I can be a new person. I can see myself as a new person. I don't need to carry all that baggage.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank
it's very
you
exciting,
me.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank
it's
you, Pasha.
Practice. Thank you so much. Gosho.
All right. Go happy. Gosho.
Go happy.
Thanks, Basha. Love that, Cherry. That place of get to the cushion or to a mind of meditation and nothing is boring.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're here for the ever changing life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is June in Georgia.
Hey, June.
Hey. Well, interesting. I had kind of a bold experience, I would say, in meditation this morning. I noticed, let's see, briefly, just before I set my timer, my yard maintenance guys showed up with their big mowers and their big blowers and all of their noise. And I thought, you know, I'll wait till we're through. And then I said, no. Just sit with the noise, with whatever's here. And so I was sitting, and there was this just constant subtle feeling of something wrong, not enough. And the kinds of words that came to me were things like sin and error and kind of Christian terms, that kind of thing. And it occurred to me to say all of that out loud and just say, yep, sin, error. I mean, this is a technique that we use a lot. Just agree with it. Yep, wrong, always been wrong, never going to be right. I just can't get it right, blah, blah, blah. And it was funny. It was freeing. It was exciting. It was new. And I've never just started talking out loud in meditation before. But it was really an exciting experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, so many beginner mind kinds of practices, right, June? So first of all, to meditate, we're told, requires silence outside for us to be successful at meditation. And yet there is the bold decision to, wait a second, I'm going to see if I can meditate through with the sound outside, right? So there again is the sidestepping of the control of a belief, that same old thing, which is you can only sit if these conditions are met.
Yeah.
And you're sitting and you watch all of the messages that are being thrown at you by conditioned mind, and it drops in to reflect those out loud as a way to be with what is rather than be with the horror of the same old thing, right? Because that is so familiar. It is so repetitive. And so there's a way in which we can basically just simply say yes rather than refute it and sort of take back the place of freshness.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly it. And the way it went through my head, as I said, is just agree with it.
Yes, that's it. I think that is the change in behavior, which is you're sitting in meditation and your mind wanders, and what we've been conditioned to do is, no, my mind should not wander. There's something wrong with it. Let me effort to make sure that my mind doesn't wander. And now we are engaged with it, and there is the maintenance of it because of our attention, even if the intention is to redirect the attention. And so to just basically recognize that the best tactic against the mind that will do whatever it's doing wherever is to simply just accept what it's saying rather than attempt to redirect from it, which is sort of like I can meditate when the yard people are making a noise simply because our practice of meditation is to be able to be aware no matter what, not to have a particular kind of experience. All right. Thank you.
I'm grateful every day. Thank you.
Well, that was an action-packed how-to. That was a little mini Q&A right on.
Yes.
On sides on the what do you call it? The matador move in in life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just step aside and say yes. I love it.
Yeah. Sherry, we have many. We don't have a lot of people in the queue that we haven't heard from lately. So we're going to hear from the people who have put themselves in the queue. So here we go.
All right, and that's I'm guessing that's an invitation for some people we haven't heard from to hit that button, because in the last few days we've had a ton of people we haven't heard from, and now.
Yeah.
Not that we're ever disappointed with the same people. We are not. We're deeply grateful that there are people who are here every single day. Yes, absolutely.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
I was about to say, y'all haven't heard from me lately. Hi, this is Jeannie from Berkeley.
Hey, Jeannie.
Hey. I'm not hearing you. Okay, great. Oh, well, I just wanted to say, when the first caller talked about how, and you said, Sherry, we could be, you know, I didn't say hi to you. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Sonia. That we could be new in every moment.
Mm-hmm.
That was just so lovely. And I grew up Episcopal, and I remember what I liked was going to communion and how I felt fresh after communion. And this is like, this is a communion I can give myself anytime.
Exactly. And it's called the breath.
The breath, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
To just be here with the breath, animated.
Yeah.
Animated. Yeah.
Yeah, and perfect. Your body gets full of the tingles and you're very fresh. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, let's see, I could go a couple ways. I went to a couple back-to-back retreats and then was traveling in Europe and I was behind. So this weekend when I got home, I decided just to go back in the Scriptures letters and start reading. And boy, just to read new things that I didn't really understand were so clear all of a sudden. And if you don't mind, I just wanted to tell you about one passage that really struck me. And it was that part about time and possessiveness. The one, you know, that was such a big chapter for a lot of people. But it was that that we are so deluded to think that time is ours, and that actually, if we imagined, it's actually kind of true that every day God has given us this time for service. In a sense. So, and if we were to look at it like that, if God or Buddha were to come to us and say, I want you to give yourself to me in service of awakening, we would say, absolutely, of course. And if we...
Especially if it's only for a day. Because, you know, I have a lot of things to do tomorrow. But I could definitely give you today. Yeah.
Especially, right. And then the point that if we didn't, I mean, and then if God said, you can have a half hour to do whatever you want, we'd be relieved to the point of disappointment, actually, because we were so wanted to show up for God or Buddha. And and the point was that actually that is what's happening to us every day when we wake up. We have that point of view. And that just really struck me. And absolutely, just to think that every day I'm being asked to give myself in service, it's just really regenerated my practice.
Yes,
to meditate every morning now.
Yes. Now, there's one little point that I would like to introduce just in case. And that is, you know, when we use a word like service,
yeah,
it can so easily slide us into doing. Because now I need to figure out, you know, well, what service am I being called to do? So for me, if we realize the service we're being called to is being.
Being,
yeah, one with, not separate from. Just as the moment arises and unfolds, it unfolds us, one with it. Now we are in service.
I feel it.
I feel it, sister.
I feel it, sister. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah. You are so welcome. Gotcha.
Gotcha.
And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller.
It's Laura in Berkeley.
Hey, Laura.
Hello. Let's see. Well, I was just watching like a scramble in my mind of like, what do I talk about?
I bet that's very familiar.
Yes, but amplified when you're in the queue. Yeah, my mind just went a little blank here.
And that isn't that beginner's mind?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. I often hear Sherry say, if you never thought another thought, you'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been enjoying the noticing. And it feels like just the act of kind of opening the awareness to try to notice something new. Like I was walking back from a store about a block from my house and noticed some new things that I don't know that I'd ever noticed before about the, you know, a building that I look at all the time or
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so to practice noticing, to practice noticing, and the encouragement of the exercise is to notice something you haven't seen before, which is such an oxymoron, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then anyway, so here you are walking back and opening awareness, so that awareness can see something that you cannot see through a conditioned orientation, because that orientation is so fixed it doesn't allow for anything new. So if I walk past a building and I'm walking past the memory of the building, obviously I wouldn't notice anything, because that's already a fixed thing in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas to be walking past with an expanded awareness is to invite all of what is here now to be registered in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what you said. Sorry, go ahead, Laura.
No, go ahead.
Well, I just love what you said when you were unmuted, and my mind is blank. Now, talk about noticing.
Mm-hmm.
That the revelation in that awareness, the mind is blank. And so there's nothing going on in the mind. It's not able to tell you something that is pre-rehearsed or pulled from the past to share. So in that space of the blankness of the mind, allows us to go, what else is here?
Mm-hmm.
Which we don't do, because that's supposed to be such a horrible place to be, where your there's nothing to say because your mind has nothing prepared to say.
Yeah, it kind of feels like that leap off the cliff, like all of a sudden like my stomach just bottoming out, like, ugh.
Yes, and imagine us noticing that, because that is something, right? It's what's here.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, oh, I'm walking past the building and I suddenly notice something that is here, because I'm not I'm not interacting through that habituated lens. I notice so many things, a blank mind,
mm-hmm.
sitting on the side of the building.
Yeah, and I feel like I've been noticing maybe the last year or 6 months or so, just I feel like when I'm calling in, I've had several experiences where like conditioning would say, you know, it's like not polished. It's like of not knowing what I'm going to say or being like, you know, and yet there's a, which I, it feels like a positive thing. It's like,
yes,
because in a way it's, I'm allowing myself to go there, to not need to be, to have that trust that I can just show up and not like cover over and just, you know, have something smooth to say or something like that.
Wow, what that's so beautiful and such an embodiment of transformation, right? So we often talk about cardboard Henry and cardboard Henrietta. These are the identities that we preserve, I mean, offer the world because I can't be myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't accept myself, and therefore I can't be myself. I'm not allowed to show that aspect of me, that enthusiastic, curious, unprepared, spontaneous, just being here. Because that got us into trouble when we were kids. And so the transformation in a practice of awareness, as we constantly move to that affectionate witnessing, we feel the acceptance of having accepted. And so there's a willingness. It feels safer to do that.
I know self-heal come in, but I'm not stopped by it. I know that I'm not vulnerable to that. So it's it becomes safe.
Yes. Yeah. It becomes safe because not because it is unsafe or safe, but we truly recognize that our vulnerability is to the conditioning, and if we choose not to be vulnerable to the conditioning, we can be here with life, which is not a vulnerable place.
Yeah.
Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
And I can't mute you, so if you would mute yourself, I'll call back in.
Those are always my favorite conversations, the ones where somebody has nothing to say.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah. And that last thing that you two were talking about, that it's the turning point. I will no longer be vulnerable to negative voices in the head. I'm no longer available to be critiqued and beaten by voices in the head. There, now. Let's get on with my life.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Tim from the Bay Area.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Sherry. Well, the very thing that we were talking about this week has been the thing that's kept me from, well, a work schedule too, but really principally the voices have kept me from getting into the queue. And what Ashwini was just saying about being in life means we're not vulnerable to those voices. It's such a fundamental, it's like I almost can't find the words how core this is to turn over my will to that, like, it feels like a survival instinct to go with those voices that say, you know, well, we prepare, you know, we prepare, and preparing is wise.
Mm-hmm.
And what struck me about the assignment this week is, it's almost like I got a peek out of something of the corner of my eye, like how, it was almost like reading it or hearing about it was like, oh, how amazing would that be? Like, if you could really do that, like there's a piece that's not really buying it. Right. But if you could really, like, what if I was in the queue for the first time, you know, like, what if this was like the first time, you know, because the nature of the queue is like, well, you know, I'm not supposed to prepare, so I'm going to say that I'm not preparing, but really, let's have something in our back pocket. You know, and I see that process like everywhere, and it's exhausting.
Yes, yes, yeah. What dropped in when you said that a minute ago, Tim, is what we prepare, and what we're always preparing for is not to be alive, which is another way of saying we're always preparing for death. We're always preparing for the big time when we won't be here. These are just all the moments that we're not here, and then one day it'll be every moment that we're not here. That's what we're really preparing for.
Well, you know, what drops in when you say that is the grand assumption that that day's not going to come for me. You know, it happens to others. It's like I understand it intellectually, but there's still some there's just this agreed upon illusion that if I do what it says, then someday I won't be troubled by the things that trouble me. You know, everything will be set, everything will be put in its place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we can get to this beginner's mind that you people are talking about. As soon as I get all that, then we can get to it. But yeah. It's like, it's almost, you know, I can feel I can feel conditioning's fear about the prospect of just, what if it was just as simple as dropping all of that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, and the panic that we can feel ego going into. Yeah. 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 And yet, Tim, the very fact that you could formulate that sentence means that it is a reality for you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why you can feel the fear and ego. This is not some theoretical conversation that we're having here. We're talking about realities.
I mean, that is so, yeah. that is so big to,
it is.
To just, and so simple sort of to step into, yeah, my mind just wants a to-do list to, you know,
yes.
Yeah.
To avoid what you know. And, you know, the funny part of that, you know, death is something that happens to other people. You know, it's one thing when we're 20.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know, because I'm going to get it all together here any minute now, and then life is just going to be smooth sailing because I, yeah. And then we hit 40.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a little shakier because, gosh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know you're right with me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then 50. And then, you know, and I've got another birthday coming up. And it's sort of this whole, like, well, okay, you know, like, what are we going to do with our life? How are we going to, you know, there is no freshness to it. There is no beginning to it. It's just there's like a seeking of safety. I need to find this thing that I can capture. I it's a feeling of musical chairs, and the music stops, and I can't find my chair.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
so,
yeah.
And so, Tim, to stay with that, I need to grab this chair and hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm not going to get up when the music starts, because if I do, I might not get a chair. So I just got to hold on to this one.
That's right. And the older I get, the perception is that my options narrow, and the panic rises, and I've been feeling this way for a while, and the assignment really drove it home for me how I don't like what I'm being told to do. I don't like the guidance that I'm getting from it. Not from life, but from it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Good. That's it. That's the one we want to stay focused on, right? You know the difference. You know what feels good, and you know what feels bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you so
good
much.
Stuff, yeah.
Yes, go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Tim. And that's it, right, Sherry? That place that we get to, which is, I'm not trying to get away from life. I'm really just trying to get away from it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And so, right. And so instead of clinging to what it's telling me I need to do in order to be okay, I'm going to risk feeling the things that I want to feel while there's still time to feel them.
Yes, and to follow the example of our first caller, too, that the sidestep is agree and redirect.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much. Go ahead.
And we had lots of people avail themselves of our invitation, so we hope we'll see them tomorrow in the queue.
And we'll issue the invitation first thing.
Again.
All right. Okay. Good. Thanks, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. Go happy.
Go happy.